My name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. And it said here I was from Bellflower. I'm not from Bellflower. I'm from Long Beach. I would never say I lived in Bellflower. I go to meetings in Bellflower. But anyways, this is a really, really lively group. This is my second time here. If I lived here, I would be here. You know, I only got a couple problems. One is I don't know how you guys trust Kevin with the gold cans. And then two, there's a lot of guys here with Charger gear on. I got a little problem with that because I'm a Cowboy fan and we play you guys Sunday. But I'm not going to hold that against you. Anyways, I'm an alcoholic. And I came a long way to speak at a meeting, and I don't like speaking. And, you know, the whole deal is I'm sober. And it keeps me sober and keeps me happy. And so that's why I do it, you know. And I've been sober for 26 years with nothing. And for 26 years, I lived a really good life. You know, and it's a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I'm no whiz kid, you know, I'm no genius. My program is very simple. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If you ask me to do something, I'm going to do it. And that's all I do. And you know, it's funny, but a lot of people can't understand that. You know, and it's baffling, I know, you know, but it's just amazing, you know. I mean, here I am. I drove up solo. I got my. First of all, I woke up this morning, and I have a problem. It's called gout. If any of you have gout, you know what I'm talking about. It's very painful. And I woke up this morning, and my hand's all swollen because I got a breakout. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm going through this pain in the morning, I got to drive down to San Diego. Because Damon inconvenienced me and asked me to speak at his meeting. You know, and I'm telling you right now, I'd rather be at home with my wife, and I got an 8-month-old kid. 8 months and 2 days, and I got to let him go to drive to San Diego, see a bunch of idiots with the Chargers gears on, you know. But anyways, I grew up in a very large Irish Catholic family. I got 7 brothers and sisters. I got a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins. And one thing we all had in common, everyone likes to drink whiskey. And that's just it. I mean, the household went a lot like this. You know, my parents would invite the priest over because we're serious Irish Catholic people. Catholic school, church, everything. The priest would come over. We'd sit down. We'd have a big dinner. And talk about, you know, being spiritual and doing stuff for the parish and stuff. But once the fathers left, you know, it's like everyone just turned into a whole different person. You know, the whiskey came out. And what happened was, on one particular night, is there was a big fight between my dad, my Uncle Bill. And before long, everyone was in this fight. And I'm not exaggerating. And what happened was the cops came. Took everyone to jail but the kids and my mother. And that's just the way it was. Everyone got drunk on whiskey, and my dad beat my mom. My dad beat all of us, you know. And, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, I just knew that, you know, the house was exciting. You know, there was never a dull moment. But I knew that the whole whiskey thing wasn't my cup of tea, you know. And I was the second to the youngest, and all my older brothers and sisters were excelled in sports. I mean, I can remember every Saturday going, running outside, grabbing the local paper, and one of my brothers and sisters would be in the paper, you know. And so I just knew growing up as a kid, I was going to be an athlete, you know. And growing up as a kid, you know, I just felt a little different, you know. And I'm not going to say I was a geek, you know, or a nerd, but, you know, I just never really felt like everyone else seemed like they felt, you know. And just to give you a little basic idea of what I'm talking about, I was a captain of the football team and the basketball team, and I still didn't feel a part of, you know. And you know, at an early age, I mean, well before I picked up a drink, I was doing things that I shouldn't do, You know, I mean, I was catching garages on fires. And one day we had, on the corner, there was an abandoned lot, and it had a bunch of cars parked. And you know, one day I'm just bored or whatever, and I just catch this car on fire. And before long, usually I would start a little fire and put it out, you know. But what happened was this little fire turned into a big one. I didn't know what to do, so I ran home. And ran upstairs in the bathroom, and all of a sudden I hear sirens, and all my brothers and sisters are like, "Mark, come on, there's a fire down the street." I'm like, "No, I'm fine, I'm going to stay here." And I'm looking through the window, and the flames are going, and I'm just going, "Wow, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that, you know." And I was always in trouble. I mean, I was always in trouble. I went to St. Matthew's from the first grade to the fifth grade, where our teachers were nuns and fathers, and it was real strict, and you had to wear corduroy pants, and this blue shirt with like a 70s collar, you know, and I did not look cool, you know, walking to school. And anyways, I was always in trouble. So one day, I got sent to Sister Carmel's office. She was like the principal, and I got sent to her office, and she had enough. And you know, honestly, I don't blame her. And she grabbed my arm, and she threw me in a chair. And then she left her office. And I told myself, she's never going to grab me like that ever again. When she left the office, I locked myself in her office. And there was an intercom. I turned all the buttons on in the intercom for every classroom to hear what I had to say. And the joke was something about nuns and the F word and all this, what's funny now, back then it wasn't really that funny, but because my brothers and all my friends would say, "Yeah, we heard them all banging on the door saying, 'Open this door, open this door.'" And anyways, make a long story short, Sister Carmel, myself, and my mother had a meeting, and they thought it would be best if I went to private school. I mean, not private school, public school. So anyways, I go there, and the magic happened for me. And what happened was I went with a ride with my Uncle Jack. My Uncle Jack was a cool dude. To give you an example of how he was, it was in the summertime, and he had a leather jacket on with Lokes in the summertime. And all we did, we went down to the local bar where him and all my uncles, and they would just sit there all day long. That was their job. And they were pushing numbers, and that's all they did. And I went into this bar with him. It was called the V Room. And I sat down with him, and he gave me a couple of shots. That's all he did. And I'm telling you, I didn't get drunk, but I felt free. I mean, those of you who are alcoholic know what I'm talking about. It just felt great. And before that drink, I knew one thing. I didn't want to be like my father, and I did not want to be like my uncles, you know. But what happened was my Uncle Jack unlocked. He had this big green Cadillac with a white top, and he unlocked my door, and he walked around to the front of the hood, and I told myself, I want to be just like him. And I'm not saying from that moment on I became a wino, but what happened was every chance I got, I took a drink. And I got the same feeling every time. I don't care. You know? And it's like the magic happened because for so many years I didn't know what my problem was. And even when I took the drink, I didn't know that was my answer. But what happened was before picking up a drink, I was in so much trouble, I had to go to shrinks, psychiatrist all the time, once a week. They're trying to figure me out, right? And you know, my poor mother, you know, she dropped me off and say, "Okay, now make sure you pay attention." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, it's fine." What happened was, as soon as that shrink got up and left the room, I was stealing shit, you know? And I mean, stuff like a paper clip, you know, a little paper clip. I don't even need a paper clip. I mean, what am I taking this stuff for? But I'm a thief, you know? Long before I picked up, I was a thief. And anyways, when that booze hit me, though, it was great. And the magic happened for me. And what happened was a series of events. By the way, every school that I went to, I got kicked out of. And let me tell you, it wasn't just one time, every time. And I had a lot of help along the ways. All my coaches would really go bend over backwards to give him a break, you know, he's whatever he would say, you know. But what happened was I would tell myself, I'm not going to drink before practice. I'm not going to drink before practice. And I meant it. And what happened was I would always pick up a drink and I would overshoot the mark. And I would get drunk and not show up. Well, every time I picked up a drink, forget it. I ain't showing up. All bets are off. Matter of fact, a lot of times when I would have the thought of drinking, all bets were off. I was unpredictable, you know. And that's just what happened was. And then eventually what happened was is, you know, I got this story. I haven't told this story in years. But I was playing football. And I was a sophomore. And what I did some outside issues because that's, you know, allowed me to drink, you know, for two or three days in a row. And so I did some of that. Then I started drinking. And then what happened was I made it to the game. And we're in huddle. And my stomach was upset pretty bad. And so I had an accident, kind of, you know, smell accident, you know. And if any of you played football, when you put your gear on, you have what's called a girdle. And a girdle comes on real tight, you know. So everything was held in there, but it was real mushy. And it was. So I can remember getting in the huddle and someone making a comment like, man, it smells like. I said, yeah, I smell it too, you know. And after every game, you know, we'd shower up and we'd all go out to wherever, you know. And by the way, I have a twin brother and he was like, you know, he was the good brother. You know, why can't you be like your brother Matt, right? Well, Matt's all, Mark, why are you showering? I said, I don't feel like it. I walked home in my uniform. But back to the story about my brother Matt. He was always the good kid, you know. He was always the good kid, you know. Why can't you be like your brother Matt, you know? He'd come home from work, I mean, school, and right when he got in, he'd do his homework. I never did a homework assignment my whole life. I'm not saying that to be funny. I never did homework. You know, it's funny because when I got sober, I went to college, right? And it's summer practice. We're playing football. And the coach calls me over one day. He goes, McManus. And I go over there. Yeah, coach. He goes, I know you didn't sign up for classes. And I pulled Allen Iverson. You know how he said practice? I'm like, classes? Anyways, I'm like, if you don't know Allen Iverson, you don't get this joke. But anyways, the whole thing about the classes thing, I was like, what? Make a long story short, what the true story is I just lost the love of football. You know, people always ask me, you know, why didn't you go to college? Because I got sober just before I turned 20. So like, why didn't you go back and play sports? I tried to go back, and I just didn't have the love. Maybe it was that. Maybe I just wasn't that good. You know, but anyways, what happened was, is when I was in the 10th grade, I sold some drugs to an undercover officer on campus. And she was real good looking, you know, and I'm a sucker for blondes. And anyways, what happened was, I got in a lot of trouble. I got arrested again. And that same paper that I would walk out and grab and look for all my brothers and sisters, well, now I'm in the paper, but it's not because if I scored 40 points or threw five touchdowns. It's because I got arrested for selling drugs to an undercover officer. Now, you know, that's a pretty embarrassing moment for me because, you know, always growing up, I always wanted to be like my brothers and sisters, you know, and now my mom's got to read a paper about her son selling drugs to an undercover officer. I went to jail again. And, you know, every time I went to jail, it was always mom getting me out. When I went to YA for that 6 or 7 months, you know, my mom was picking me up. And what happened was I told myself right then and there, there wasn't no game about, okay, now I'm transferring to another school. There was no more schools. I just quit. And for the next 4 years, basically, I did what nobody should do to their body. And we all know about it. It's drinking whiskey all day long on liquid diet. When I'm out there drinking, I don't eat. You know, that's all I do is I drink whiskey. And the whole joke in my family with my uncles was, you know, because I was always getting in trouble. My dad would always tell me, well, you know, I heard you got arrested again. I'm like, yeah. Sorry, Dad. And you know, he'd beat me, and he should, you know, but he would always say, just go to church, you know. It was either just go to church, I don't care what you do, just go to church. Or he'd say, now make sure you eat before you drink a lot of whiskey. And that's just how it was, you know. But what happened was, that same church that I was baptized in, that my mother and father got married in, that I got married in, that my brothers, everyone in my family got married in this church, baptized in this church, the same church I broke into to cut the locks and steal the money. You know, where you light the candle and you put your money in? That's where I am at 20 years old. Because when I have that thought of that drink, I don't care what it is or what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the actions to get what I need to get, and I don't care who I hurt. You know? And, you know, I was as sober as I am right now at that same time. And for me to just, I mean, I just could not believe I was taking these actions. But, you know, once again, once I put alcohol, I mean, it doesn't matter anyways. Forget it. I'll worry about it later on. And what happened was, my mother, who God love her, man. God rest her soul. She tried to help me numerous of times, and she was the only one that stayed with me. You know, what happened was one day I'm on one knee, and I open up her big jewelry box, and everything is gone but one set of pearl earrings. Everything else was gone. And I'm as sober as I am right now on one knee, and I'm crying. And I'm saying to myself, this time I'm going to hawk these, and I'm going to get these back. You know, and if you're anything like me, you know I never got them back, you know. And so what happened was, here I am, you know, growing up dreaming of becoming an athlete and all that. And I'm living in a one-car garage, paying $25 a month. And I can't even pay my $25 a month. I'm getting evicted from a garage in Long Beach. The Lower East Side of Long Beach. Now, if that don't make you feel like a champ, I don't know what does. And one day I just woke up like any other day, and I just start crying. And if you had that moment of clarity, you know what I'm talking about. I just start crying to the God that I gave up on years ago. And I said, oh, God, help me. And I was in a very tough spot, because that church I couldn't go to. You know, because, you know, I ripped him off. You know, I don't like my dad. Matter of fact, there was numerous of times where I would contemplate killing my dad. You know, I can't go to him. Make a long story short, I go to one of my old coaches, and I go into a 30-day program. And my first outside meeting that I go to, I run to this guy that I used to get loaded with. His name was Eric B. And he was so excited to see me. And I haven't got that response in years. You know, and I'm like, this is great, right? And where I knew Eric from was, we hung out at a hot dog stand. And this is the kind of hot dog stand, you get anything you want but a hot dog. You know? And we just hang out there for weeks on end, you know, and no sleep, no food, just, you know. And anyways, what happened was, Eric took me to meetings. And he took me to meetings every day. And I went to meetings every day. And what happened was, I got 30 days sober. And then I got 90 days sober. And then before long, I got a year sober. You know, and the funny thing happened is, when I got a year sober, I started doing a different fellowship. And I like that tune. And I went to a different fellowship, and to make a long story short, what happened was, I got caught up in this image, you know, like, if you didn't look like me, talk like me, or dress like me, I'm not putting my hand out, you know, because I'm cool or I'm slick, you know, and I was an idiot is what I was. And I got real thirsty, and I got real sick, I don't know what you would call it, but it was a very scary part of my life, and I didn't know what to do. And what happened was, I got introduced to the group that I attend now, and it's the Bellflower Big Book Group. And I don't mind saying I go to meetings in Bellflower, but I'm damn sure ain't gonna say I live there. but what happened was like, I went to this large group, and I got a sponsor. And I had the same sponsor that I got years ago now. And the cool thing is about me and my sponsor is there's no secrets. I have no secrets to my sponsor. And I'm a sick dude. I'm a sick cat. And I can't keep secrets. So anyways, I got this sponsor, and he's having me take a bunch of actions. And I can remember the first time I had to wear a tie. I'm like, tie? You wear no goddamn tie. You know, but what happened was the guy who took his 1 year talked about being desperate. And I was desperate and out of options. And AA works a lot better for a guy like me when I'm out of options. So I put a tie on and I became a greeter every Monday night. And a couple of these guys know about our greeters. And what happened was I didn't think it was doing anything for me. But it really was, because what happened was I started to know everyone in the whole meeting. And for a guy like me, I'm so damn self-centered. I can meet you 1 minute, 2 minutes later, forget your name. You know, so it was really good for me. And what happened was I started taking actions, and my sponsor had me do a fifth step. And, you know, I'm a sick cat, you know, and I was 100% honest for the first time in my life. I was honest with myself, another man, and God. And for me, that's where it all started. I felt a part of AA. I cried like a little baby. And there was one thing that I didn't have on my list that I just verbally told him because I was so embarrassed to put it on paper. And I told him, and I can't believe I was honest with this man. But what happened was, thank God I got a sponsor that cares about me and doesn't care about hurting my feelings, because he made me make some amends. Because, you know, if it was up to me, my amends to my mother would be like, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sober now. We're cool, right? You know? I mean, you know, maybe it's in different words, but what happened was he made me go get a credit card for a jewelry store and get back this jewelry, and I'm sitting down with my mother on the porch. And I'm giving her these new pair of earrings to my mother. And, you know, I'm saying I'm sorry for being a piece of shit, son. And, you know, laid it all out to her and paid her back everything. And the biggest gift about that whole deal is my mother died with cancer a while back. And I was free. And if I didn't have a sponsor that's strong and cares about me, who knows the guilt I would have had behind all that shit, sitting in a meeting, God, man, you know, I never really paid my mom back anything, you know, but I'm free. When she took her last breath, my hand was in her hand. So I was free there, you know, and all that was because a guy cares about me, my sponsor, you know, because if it's up to me, man, I'm a piece of shit, and I can still be sober, and I can still be a piece of shit. Just because I'm sober don't mean I'm a great guy. You know, I mean, that's just the way I'm built, you know, and I know that today, you know, and I don't sit here and judge or do, because I mean, who am I to judge? I mean, I mean, come on, I've been done some really stupid things sober. You know, I used to think that it was cool to have a different girl around my arms every day of the week. You know, I thought that was a man. I thought that was cool. You know, how do you like me now, you know? Because I was always searching out here to make me feel better in here, you know? And really, all I was being a total coward and a user and a self-centered piece of shit, you know? And the magic happened when I hit the steps, you know, and I made my amends. And that father that I talk about that I didn't care for and contemplate killing him, you know? And those are harsh words. You know, I mean, and I'm not proud of that, but what happened was my sponsor said I needed to make amends to my father. And my father and mother were living in Vegas. So he said, catch the earliest flight possible so I can catch my dad sober. So I got there at 6 o'clock, and I caught him sober, and we sat down. And halfway through my amends process, my dad says, I need a drink. And I said, I don't blame you, you know. And not from that moment on. I'm not saying him and I are like, you know, buddy buddies, but what we have a great relationship today. I go see my dad once a month today because my dad is in assisted living. He has what they call wet brain. My dad just never got what we got here, you know. I live a great life today. I'm married, and we got a little son at home named Lucas Anthony. And my wife, I've been married to her for 5 years, and the main thing is I've been faithful and honest with her. And that's a big deal for a guy like me, you know. I'm definitely overpaid. I really am. And if it means coming down to San Diego on a Saturday night with a gout breakout and a bunch of guys wearing San Diego Charger jerseys on, then, you know, here I am. You know, and what's really cool is, you know, like, I never graduated. The last year I completed was in ninth grade. I never went back to get my high school diploma. And I've been at the same job for 24 years. And they love me. That's what's crazy. You know, and I sponsor guys and I take them through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and man, what a treat that is. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm just a no good piece of shit, really. If you really want to know the truth, that's me. You know, I mean, and you know, my program is a simple program. I mean, I don't complicate things. I just show up. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm there. And if I'm not there, I'm calling you, telling you why I'm not there. You know, I met this lady in Alcoholics Anonymous who became my mother in AA. Her name was Gloria Decker. I don't know if any of you knew her, but she's a great woman. That woman helped me so much. Thank God I got people like her and my sponsor in my life. She taught me how to treat women. She taught me how to greet women. I never knew how to hug a woman. You know how you do the hug on the side and kiss on the cheek? I never knew that. It was like tap the fanny type, you know. But she, you know, I'm a simple guy. She taught me the basics on how to treat a woman. You know, how to, you know, take her on a date, meeting, movie, take her home. You know, don't leave her in the car, you know what I mean? And a direct result of that, man, I got married to a woman that I would do anything for. You know, that's my wife, you know? I mean, we live a great life. We got a sober home. She's sober, I'm sober. Little Luke ain't never going to see his drink, hopefully. But I'm really grateful to be sober. If you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I hope you found what I found here. And all I do is show up. Thank you.